It's Tuesday, Pi Day, March 14th, 2017, and there was some voodoo magic in Teal Town tonight because for the first time in about 7 years, the San Jose Sharks have beaten the Buffalo Sabres on home ice by the score of 4-1. That puck was bouncing, and awesome ice that it was. Helps out big time. And with that, welcome to Pucknology After Dark. We are your interactive post-game show for all things San Jose Sharks and a little bit of San Jose Barracuda while we're at it. Nonetheless, make sure you subscribe down below or to the side. Make sure you hit up pucknology.net for all your info needs. You can also follow us on our social media channels. And don't forget that we are presented by Audible, an Amazon company. We partner with them to provide a free 30-day trial. You can search up to 180,000 audiobooks and get to keep one for yourself, whether you continue using the service or not. Visit audibletrial.com/PAD to sign up. You get a free book. You help support the show. Everybody wins. You can also interact with us. Use the hashtag PucknologyAD. You can also join us on the YouTube chat or the app. You can also follow us on Twitter. Tonight you have at iReadPucknology, at Eric Landy, that's spelled with a K. Yours truly, at PuckGuy14. But for right now, we'll send it to the tank. And we will say hello to the lovely and talented and the person who wants to have a burrito with Paul Martin, Miss Rocket Backhander.
Hey guys, what's up? Rocket Backhander, live and direct from the SAP Center. Post-victory against the Buffalo Sabres. That was one of the weirdest games I think I've ever seen.
What did you take from it? Because it seemed like there was a... that puck was bouncing all over tonight. Did the ice look okay, or was there a reason that the puck was bouncing?
The ice is always shit here, so I don't think that's ever a question. Like, that's a given. The ice is always crap at SAP Center, so let's not blame the ice. Let's not look at the ice. Let's just throw it out the window. It's dumb. What I noticed tonight was that Braun got targeted again and again by Evander Kane. So somebody, maybe Justin Braun, took his parking spot last time or something, but Evander Kane was definitely out to give Justin Braun a bad night. I gotta say, I really was impressed with the North-South movement through the neutral zone and deep into the O-zone by my boy, Brendan Dillon, because I'm always real proud of him. Martin Jones had a fabulous evening. Kevin Kurz said that he thinks that the extra rest does him good. I think that the extra face in Arendelle does us all good.
That's definitely one way of putting at it. Yeah. How was the crowd tonight?
Sparse. It was very thin. But they were into it. They were definitely engaged and wooing a lot. So, yeah, everybody showed up. Who showed up?
Gotcha. Awesome. So are you going back Thursday or?
No. I gotta work.
So those looking to see Rocket at the game Thursday, no suit for you. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Well, thanks for checking in, Rocket. You get home safe.
Yeah, I gotta go. Okay.
Yes.
I'll talk to you guys soon.
Be safe.
Go Sharks.
Bye, hun. Go Sharks.
Bye, Rocket.
Bye.
And that was Rocket Backhander checking in from the club level at SAP Center. And with that, let's say hello to the guys who will be with me the duration of the evening. We'll say hello to the angry Canadian robot. That is Mr. Ian Reed.
I'm here. I'm angry. What's up?
You are angry?
No, not that angry at all.
I was going to say, we have a double win tonight to talk about.
Well, I was looking forward to coming on and just ripping apart the Sharks because they're playing Buffalo, so it's like a given, right? And like games where they lose are so much easier to do than games when they win because it's so much easier to bitch and complain. But, you know, leave it to the Sharks. They win the game, and now I gotta fucking talk nice. It's bullshit.
I'm sorry to disappoint you.
I'm sorry. I'm disappointed.
You LA Kings fan. And of course, let's say hello to the guy in beautiful SoCal, which means he's not in LA, Mr. Eric Landy.
No, we're south of SoCal.
Yeah, no, you know what? I mean, I think there's a few things that I still would like to see this team tweak. But overall, you know what? It was kind of a good slump buster type game, as they like to say. You know, it took some voodoo magic to get some goals past Robin Lehner in their early going. But, you know, the team showed some good life. Power play, finally. I mean, it was like literally hitting at your head against a brick wall, doing the same shit over and over again. Finally gets a goal. And you know what? Brent Burns wasn't in on the scoring on the power play. It's amazing what happens when we don't always pass to Brent Burns.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I think that there's some things that needs to be tweaked, and I think we'll get into it a little bit in a little bit. But you know what? Good overall win, good slump buster, and I'm glad to see that this team is chugging along.
Yep. I agree. Josh, I'm just looking at some of these chats. Felix saying hashtag angry Canadian trademark.
For Vili Esmeroma, no, Burns did not get a point tonight.
Oh,
no points for Burnsy.
Vili also wants to know what's with the new tattoo, Landy.
No, I've had it. I've had this tattoo since I was 18. Another one's coming actually right here, so stay tuned.
Preferably in mid-June, we hope. So let's talk about this game. We'll break it down. The Sharks versus Sabres. Again, Buffalo has been on a roll in San Jose, let alone in Buffalo, for quite a time. Of course, I was thinking, oh, God, here we go again. This is not how you want to do it. A minute 10 in, Jack Eichel makes a 1-0 for Buffalo.
But even before
– of his year.
Yeah, but even before that, I think the first thing that I want to talk about was that big hit on Justin Braun opening up in the first minute by Evander Kane. And you know what? The lack of response to that hit, it kind of concerns me. We've seen other Sharks teams prior to this, you know, get pushed around a little bit. Last year, it seemed like they kind of shed that label. They kind of did really stick up for each other, especially during the playoffs, especially during that St. Louis series where St. Louis tried to take some liberties, but Sharks wouldn't let them. But tonight, they kind of regressed back to Todd McClellan era Sharks. I really didn't like the lack of the physical response. And because the power play is not as lethal as it has been, you can't use that as the equalizer either, or you can't count on that to be the equalizer. So that kind of did bother me, and it kind of did, you know, it kind of shifted the momentum for Buffalo very early in the season.
What did you think, Ian?
Yeah, I have to echo a little bit what Landy's saying here. I thought that there was a big hit off the top, but Evander Kane was all over Braun all night. And I don't know. I mean, for me, I would have stuck him out there with, you know, if you're not going to stick, I understand you don't want to stick Haley out there against that line, but maybe you put Brendan Dillon on the ice instead. Like there's people on the team that can, you know, that can take care of business there and just kind of remind them that, you know, if you're going to take runs at our guys, we're going to take runs at you.
or Yannick Hansen, you know, get Yannick to buzz him a little bit. You know, Yannick plays that kind of on the line kind of style. He's not necessarily going to be like a Rafi Torres, but he does get under people's skin. And, yep. You know, he does take liberties after the whistle. And quite frankly, the Sharks team has never had that besides Rafi. And a little bit of mixing it up is going to come good for this team, especially when, you know, if they got to go against a Pittsburgh or a Washington Capitals in the finals, if we make it that far again. So, you know, I just hate to see that. I hate to see the liberties being taken against Sharks players, especially their top shutdown defense, one of their top shutdown defensemen. And you know what? Evander Kane was kind of just all over it tonight. And he's always had a reputation for being a punk. I don't like his game. And you know what? I wish the Sharks would have done a little bit more about it.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, though, I mean, it's a one-off game against Buffalo. You're not going to see them again this year. and you walk through with the 2 points. So
yeah.
I mean, that's what matters at the end of the day. So
yeah, definitely. Let me pump up my audio. Apparently my gain is not very high.
Let's get your gain up.
Is that better, guys?
That's a little bit better.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, that's a lot better, actually. You know, but you also saw Brent Burns deliver a hit. I believe it was on Gergensen's, you know, midway to about late in the period. And for some reason, I almost see it every time. It's like, once Jones lets in a goal, he seems to be more in the game and up to the task. I don't know if it's just me or do you guys get that sense? It's like he gets that, he doesn't get many, too many shutouts, but he'll stop, he'll only let in one, and then he's on top of everything for the night.
I mean, to me, it seems like he almost takes it personally that he lets in a goal. Mm-hmm. And once that happens, he kind of does buckle down. His kind of concentration just kicks up an extra notch. It might be anecdotal, but you know what? I do agree with you, Eric. He does seem to really tighten down his mechanics after that first one's let in.
Which is good. I mean, nothing against him letting in one.
Yeah, definitely. We've got some other some Hansen love in the chat, and I agree. I mean, he's making the Joes look good. That line has looked awesome since Hansen's been injected on there. And you know what? Guess who's on fire? Jumbo. He had another 2-point night. Pavelski's got another 2-goal night, mm-hmm. and Pavs is going to break the 30-goal mark this year. And that's going to be pretty crazy because that's going to be what, 3 years in a row he's going to break the 30-goal mark.
And to do it on a down year where Jumbo isn't having like an amazing year is one thing for sure. So overall, that first period, kind of wrestling back into this game here, Sharks outshot Buffalo 20 to 9.
20-9.
I mean, that's just crazy. And you felt in your head, and I think I even tweeted it out, Lehner's is being, you know, Ben Scrivens-esque in that first period. But then the Sharks finally break through, and it happens to be on the power play. Oh, my God, they score on the power play. Pavelski has 27th from Couture and Jumbo to tie that game at 1. And then, of course, you know, just how they planned it, Michael Haley with the game-winning goal. It says unassisted, but let's give an assist to Jack Eichel.
Primary.
Yeah. Ian, the bounces went their way tonight, wouldn't you say, especially on that goal?
Yeah, I look all the bounces. You look at the Logan Couture pool shot. You look at the game-winning goal. I mean, sometimes you got to get lucky, and they got lucky tonight on a couple of goals. Not only, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, it was all luck, but obviously luck plays a factor, and it was on display.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said before, it takes a little bit of black magic to get rid of those streaks, you know, and they certainly had it tonight. But I will say this. And I've been on record as saying this multiple times. You make your breaks in this league, and that fourth line really made their breaks tonight. So I'm glad that they got rewarded. That called back goal, I believe that was in the first period that we didn't really talk about. I mean, that was all fourth line, and you know what? They did everything right on that play. It could have gone either way, but we're playing against Buffalo, so you know there's going to be a disallowed goal in there somewhere. You know, so it just, like I said, they made their breaks tonight. I mean, when you get 42 shots on goal, you should be getting bounces.
You would hope to be getting those bounces. And, you know, Pavelski gets another shot, you know, on essentially, you know, bang, bang play. He gets his 28th from DeMellon Thornton. But then the finish off the scoring and wrap it up, Logan Couture with another lucky bounce. He kind of tips it, and what Lehner, he tries to flick it out, and he flips it over his head and into the net. sometimes you just want those bounces. Those bounces happen to go in the Sharks' favor.
Yeah. Yeah, they all even out. You know what? I mean, we always say it, and, you know, there's going to be those games where we don't get it, and it sucks, yep. And it's just like, you know, you did everything right, but you didn't get the bounces. Tonight, I mean, they did everything right, and they got the bounces, so.
Absolutely. Which means, you know, after all, the Sharks got lucky. Production value at its finest.
That's super production value, and I'm glad you cut it off just quickly enough that we're not going to get nailed for copyright infringement. Yes,
because, you know, let's just have Daft Punk and Pharrell, you know, breathe down our necks for copyright infringement.
There's people out there doing it, man. It happens. we had a video like we've had already one like copyright strike against us. It wasn't a strike, but basically what we had to do was allow them to monetize our video when we I can't remember what song we used. And we got nailed for it.
It was
the Mike Brown tribute. Yeah.
Yes, it was the Mike Brown tribute.
Yeah. I mean, let's kind of wrap up the game, boys. I mean, we go into the third period, and let's see. Eric, do you want to run it down?
Yeah, I pretty much did already. But you know, Pavelski gets his second goal of the game, second straight game that he scores two goals. So he's come. He's really coming on fire here, boys. His 28th of the year from DeMello and Thornton. Then 14:57, you have Couture with that lucky bounce. And Jones shutting it down, really. I mean, they had outshot the Sabres 37-14 after two periods and only got five shots in the third, while Buffalo got nine. So Buffalo tried to make a push, but after that fourth goal, they're like, ah, geez, really? We're it's one of those, okay, yeah, all right, that's not going to happen now. So, unfortunately for them, they had no luck. And here's something, and I wish we had a real stats to figure out when that was happened the last time. The Sharks won the faceoff battle tonight and won the game, which is something that hasn't happened recently. Sharks 58-42 on the faceoff circle tonight. And the only one that, well, you have two guys that were below 50, and that was Logan Couture at 20 and Tomas Hertl at 25. So that's always nice to have two centers losing most of their draws, right, boys?
Yeah, but when you have Joel Ward winning 100% of his faceoffs, Tierney clocking in at 80, Thornton at 71, Marleau at 75, and Pavs at 50%. I mean, that's not a bad night. I'll take a 20 and a 25 from Logan and Hurdle. Hurdle had a really good game tonight too. He was all over the puck. I mean, there were a few good chances by that third line. And like I said before, Hansen just looks like he's breathing in new life to the Joes. I mean, they look like they've found their lust for life again, you know, yeah. by adding a Dane, you know, who would have figured. But yeah, and I mean, now we're kind of looking over at the overall stats page, and things start to kind of look normal again. You know, it's crazy. We still had the Wookiee leading the team by like a gaudy number, but now Pavs coming into 63 points in 69 games played. Logan has 50 points in 67 games. Jumbo, I mean, he's really picked it up. He's got 47 points now. Patty, you know, just a really great bounce back season. Joel Ward quietly putting together a really, really good second half. And you know what? These are those key markers that you want to see this team going into the playoffs with. You know, we all said that this team was kind of older and it was going to look to that break as kind of a good point to kind of re-energize and really use as a springboard. And guys, I'm really liking the way that the team's shaping up and just the way that the secondary scoring has just kind of come alive since that break.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think that they did a good job of, you know, some of these guys are doing a really good job of getting back into it. Bodker's looked better, and I've dogged Bodker all season. And, you know, look at his points totals are never going to be what we wanted them to be when he was signed. But But he has been better in the second half of the season. I mean, he basically stuck on that top, the second line, sorry, for a good stretch of time. And, you know, they seem to jumble it up a little bit here and there. But, you know, that was kind of what we were expecting from Bodker when we signed him. So I think he deserves some credit. And Joel Ward's been okay. I think, you know, Joel Ward's playing some pretty sheltered minutes right now, though. And I think that should not go... that shouldn't go unnoticed.
Well, I mean, since he got put back on that second line in the Washington game, I mean, he's been playing the same amount of minutes with Logan and Patty, you know, and he's been able to hold his own. So, I mean, yes, prior to that, he was being sheltered. He was picking up points, though. But I think he's kind of easing back into that shutdown role that he had last year. I really like the fact that when you put those three together, you have that European Union line, as people are calling Hurdle, Donskoy, yes, and Bodker. And that line, I mean, you've got two little speedy motors in Bodker and Donskoy, who kind of just really, those two complement each other. And then you've got a battering ram and Hurdle. And I really like that line. And if that line gets... if it gets to some better zone deployments, I think you could see that line pick up scoring. You know, that would be a line that you would want to put out against like a Nick Bonino kind of line, you know, that kind of skilled third line that you like to see, that the East teams really like to deploy. So, you know what? I mean, going into the stretch drive here, I see these games as tune-ups, and really, like I've been telling you guys, I'm marking down the games against the Flames, and I'm marking down the game against Minnesota, that last game, as really going to show where this team is at.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Go ahead, Ian. Sorry.
No, yeah. No, I mean, I agree. sorry. The chat's killing me today.
What are they saying?
Oh, just we had this thing about Q stats, and now it's a hashtag, and I love it. Because you know how Zach Devine loves the Q.
Oh, you mean the league that anybody can score in?
The Q, yes. Q stats.
You mean like it would make me look like Mario Lemieux, and I can't even skate?
Maybe.
It is the Q.
It is the Q. no, anyway, going back to what us. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I like the third line. You know, the thing about that second line though is that second line, I think Logan Couture doesn't get enough credit, because that line really goes with Logan. Like, if Logan's not good, that whole line is terrible. And so I think that, you know, Logan Couture doesn't get nearly enough credit for how that line does, because that line goes where he goes.
No, I definitely agree. And it was interesting. I was listening to... I can't remember who exactly it was. Was it... it might have been, actually, it was wide. I think it was on Writer's Room last when you guys took over on Sunday. But just that he might be the best unsung shutdown forward in the NHL. You know, he's got the mindset of a Kopitar, but he doesn't have the size. But he kind of makes up for it in his IQ. I think he's a little smarter than Kopitar. And he's a player that you can put out against anyone, and he'll shut him down. He really is.
Yeah. Well, I think he's the best. As much as it pains me to admit it, he's probably the best forward on this team. And I don't think it's close.
I don't know. I mean, I tend to think that Pavs kind of equals him. I mean, if you think that Logan is the excellent forward in the defensive zone, I think Pavs is on the flip side as an offensive zone player, and he's able to help out in his own zone too.
I don't know. I still think that I think that with Pavelski, though, I mean, it's no surprise that his numbers jump when he got put with Thornton, though.
That's true.
I wonder what Pavs would be without Joe Thornton, and I don't think it would be. I don't think Couture would be... I think Couture would be better if you took Thornton away from Pavelski.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. And just even if you distributed the offensive zone starts a little bit more heavily skewed towards him, you know, he might... His point production might be a little bit higher. than it is now. I think it's artificially deflated just because of the type of minutes that he plays and against the type of players that he plays against. But kind of going into the forwards, I think it's a good springboard, is just kind of going over the time on ice numbers. No forward logged more than 16 minutes, and everybody was in double digits tonight. I mean, hell, even Michael Haley, he comes in at 12 minutes, and Sorensen comes in at 12 minutes as well. I mean, when you're getting 12 minutes out of a fourth line, that's pretty damn good. And they didn't look out of place tonight at all. So I'm really liking this forward line distribution. And then you kind of look on the back end. I mean, Mark-Edward Vlasic is your time on ice leader. Brent Burns with 22:45, but Mark-Edward Vlasic really nipping on his heels at 22:25. DeMello, I mean, plays 16 minutes, but you know, he's been doing really well too. I just, overall, guys, this team is just kind of clicking along, and really I like where it's at.
Yeah, it's slowly coming together. Sorry,
go ahead. I mean, I was just gonna say that, you know, I think that taking Ward off the fourth line and putting Sorensen there, that was a big improvement. I think, like, bringing Sorensen back in the lineup, because I think that Haley and Ward are too similar of players that it doesn't really mesh well. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it's like interchanging pieces. You know, it's the same piece, and it's doing the same job. They kind of go to the same place on the ice.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's a very interchangeable piece. We do have a final on that Arizona. LA King game that went to the shootout. Arizona beats LA in the shootout 3-2. Boys, I said this on the Washington game. The Kings are not making it this year. I don't think that they're gonna lose runway here. They're not gonna have enough runway to get on.
Yeah, they're starting to run out of time, and we'll get the standings up in just
a jiffy. Ben Bishop won them a game yet?
No, I don't think so. And right now, I mean, just kind of going over it, they've played 69 games and they're 4 points out of the wild card, and St. Louis has got a game in hand, and they're not gonna catch Edmonton at this point.
Oh God, no.
So their only chance is that wild card spot, and they've got some games head to head against St. Louis. Guys, LA's done. I don't see them climbing back into this. It would take a freak run, and they've got less than 13 games, or they've got 13 games to do it. I don't see them doing it.
Well, their problem is, I mean, you know, and I said this after the trade deadline too, the problem with the Kings was, yeah, obviously you didn't want to play quick as much as possible, but you needed scoring. And Jerome Iginla is not 40, you know, 50 goal a year Jerome Iginla anymore. And, you know, he can help, but I mean, if you're not Jeff Carter, you're not scoring. And I think that, you know, you didn't address the biggest issue you had. And that was, you know, and that was goal scoring. And I know, you know, a lot of people are dogging Iginla for going there, but I think that at the same time, you know, you got to go where you're wanted. And I don't know how big the market was for Jerome Iginla's contract at the trade deadline.
And yeah, considering that the deal that Colorado has is pretty much, here, just have him, is pretty much what it was. I mean,
crazy. And even just looking at the playoff odds percentages on Sports Club Stats, it's a really good website if you guys are into just more statistical analysis and playoff percentages. But LA, I mean, after their loss against St. Louis, they dropped down to 23% odds of making it to the playoffs. With tonight's loss, I bet that goes into the 18s. So they've got a 1-in-5 shot of making it. I just don't see them doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny though. I mean, because you bring up the in the chat there, they're talking about Tampa Bay being sellers and going on a tear. I mean, St. Louis, same thing. Like, you know, I this is a team that might sit in the wild cards. This team might steal a wild card spot, and they dump Shattenkirk at the deadline. I don't know how good they're going to be if they make it, but I'm sure that the ownership in St. Louis is going to be happy with the, you know, that two games of playoff gate.
Well, I mean, you know what? And the other thing too that we don't know about is just the whole addition by subtraction. You know, we saw it with the Sharks when they offloaded Klo and Murray. I mean, that team got a lot lighter very quickly. And you know,
Kevin Shattenkirk, like Ryan Klo was, you know, Ryan Klo was, I mean, these guys, like Douglas Murray especially, was way past his best before date. Like, he had slowed down crazy, and the fact that, you know, we got the picks and Ryan Klo, I mean, you know, we kind of just dodged a bullet there, and he got that concussion, and that was kind of it for him. But man, like Shattenkirk's, I don't know. I mean, that's a damn good defenseman.
Well, he's more defensively liable than Brent Burns is, and that's saying something, because Brent Burns is hellaciously defensively liable.
Yeah,
and Shattenkirk is more sheltered than Burns is. And he really is a power play offensive specialist. You've got to put him with a shutdown pair of defensemen, or else he's going to get exposed big time. So, you know what? If the Blues were kind of leaky on the back end because this guy was taking too many chances, it makes sense why they've tightened up. You know? So, mm-hmm. I don't think that it's I don't think it's a coincidence. You know, it's just sometimes players just don't mesh well on teams. Sometimes they just don't mesh well with styles. It happens.
Sometimes goalies just remember their goalies.
That too. I mean, like, you know,
Calgary.
Yeah, I mean, how long did frickin' St. Louis and Calgary not able to buy a save? You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just.
Sorry.
Toilet paper is the gateway drug. I thought that was weed, but okay.
Moving on, let's go around the league before we...
No.
No, I don't want to go around the league.
Too damn bad.
All right, hold on.
The Islanders beat the Carolina Hurricanes 3-2 in overtime. Tavares with the game-winning goal there. Panarin with the goal gave Chicago a 4-2 victory over Montreal.
Oof, yeah. Patrick Kane, I believe, is now the leading point getter at this point.
Yeah. So, I don't see. I mean, as much as I love Burns and as much as I love the story of him getting the heart, I just think Kane's on too much of a tear.
Oh, it's going to McDavid. Let's be honest.
Oh God. What is your guys' obsession with trying to find another Wayne Gretzky?
Well, you know, that's what you do. That's how you sell the game. Dummy, it's just like, you know.
Fuck you!
Well, no, I mean, look at it. I mean, what do you do, man? Like in any sport, this happens in every sport, right? Like, look at basketball. Jordan retired, then it was Kobe, now it's LeBron. It's always going to happen.
Yeah.
And now we might have a bunch of them now. Speaking of which, a lot of those are in Toronto, and they got owned by the Florida Panthers 7-2 tonight. That really hurt the Leafs tonight for their playoff chances as they sit on the outside looking in. Edmonton 7, Dallas 1. So Dallas is really leaking oil. They're looking like they're
no puns intended.
No puns intended. The Capitals beat up on the Wild 4-2 in what could be also another Stanley Cup final preview. As we told you earlier, the Coyotes, I'm sorry, Desert Dogs beat the Kings in a 12-round shootout 3-2. So with that, Landy, are you ready to roll? Yep, there you go. There's your Western Conference playoff race right now. The Sharks are at 91 points. Flames are at 82, along with Anaheim, but Calgary has two more.
Rose.
Thank you, Landy. Chicago with the win and Minnesota's loss leapfrogs Chicago into the lead in the Central, although Minnesota does have a game in hand. Edmonton's dominant win gets them up to 81 points, so they're just a point back of Anaheim and Calgary. So that's very, very tight race in the Pacific there. And the St. Louis is at 77. And then, of course, the Kings are 4 points back at 73. The rest are clinging on barely. So we'll see what's going on there. For those wanting to know magic numbers and such, here we go. We'll go to the Pacific Division. Thank you, Landy. Appreciate that, bud. The Sharks are at 91 points. You're looking at the how do you figure out the magic number? You take them out the maximum amount of points.
Figure it out.
or you get really mathematical here and have yours truly. Yes. Yes.
The magic of math.
Yes. At this point, if Anaheim is in considering it's the same amount of I forgot to flip the Flames and Ducks logo on there. So Calgary's at on the number two spot. Anaheim's number three. So in this case, for 82 points, they both have 13 games left. 13 times two. If they were one out, be 26 points. So they would finish with 108. Which means the Sharks would have to finish with 109 at the moment. So they have a magic number of 18 to clinch their Pacific Division title. As for a playoff spot, they're getting close now. With the Kings losing, they have a maximum amount of points of 26, so 98. So they have a magic number of 8 to clinch their 19th playoff spot in their 26-year history. So that could get very close as maybe by the weekend, if all things go well, that they could clinch a playoff spot.
So the Dallas Stars are on a three-game losing streak. How many goals have they allowed?
17.
17. Landy is correct.
Ding, ding, ding.
I didn't even need a minute for that. I just knew that off the top of my head.
Well, there you go.
Because they suck real bad. Yes. I don't know, man. They should go out and get a third sieve. I mean, goalie. In the off season.
Well, my question is at this point, like the only thing here's my concern right now, right? Because obviously the Sharks beat them up pretty badly, 5-1, and then now Edmonton destroys them 7-1. We have two games against them next week. Will Lindy Ruff be behind the bench?
Probably not. But so if Lindy Ruff isn't behind the bench, does that mean that they get a win?
Yeah, because that always happens to us. Well, there'll be a coaching change and then the team wins because it always happens. It's bullshit.
Yeah. Of course.
Please, Dallas Stars, Jim Nill, do not let us down. Leave Lindy Ruff behind the bench.
Yeah, it wasn't Lindy's fault. It's Nemo and Lettinen's fault.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's actually Neil's fault, right? Because he kept that nightmare going.
Well, I mean, he did an awesome job with that forward core, but he kind of forgot the back half of the rink.
That's not on Nemo. That's on Jim Nill.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Jim Nill forgot the back half of the rink.
Oh, yeah.
You know, from the blue line back.
Guys, let's be real here. They haven't been the same since Brendan Dillon left. I mean, let's be real here.
Hashtag difference maker.
That's right. You know who's not sucking? Are the San Jose Barracuda. Ian,
Barracuda.
Tell us about the Barracuda. Ian, tell us about what the I don't want to call them the baby sharks, but the
baby fins. The baby fins.
The Barracuda. They did good tonight. Well, they did okay tonight.
they did good.
They did good. I mean, you know, when the Barracuda do good, it's good. They came out really, really strong. At I think the end of the first period, they're out shooting the Bakersfield Condors, which is the farm team of the Edmonton Oilers. For those who don't know, they were out shooting them. I believe it was 20-8, and they were up by 3 goals from Julius Bergman, Rourke Chartier, and John Martin got one, and then later on they. Condor started kind of coming on again, and then Jacob Middleton, who is probably one of the more underrated players and unheralded players on that team, got a goal. It was his first professional goal, which was cool. But man, the Bakersfield Condors, rather, they stormed back and they really pushed it to the Barracuda. The Barracuda held on, but it was 4-3 by the end, and that shooting gap was only 30-29 in favor of the Barracuda by the time the game was over. So. Mm-hmm. The Condors got a ton of shots at the in the second half of the game and really pushed the Barracuda.
That Bergman fella's pretty good, huh?
I like Berge. I think Berge's might be the, I don't know. I think he's probably like the third. I'd say probably the third best defenseman on the team if I had to throw it out there.
Do you think Heed and Mueller are above him in the depth chart?
No, Mueller definitely not. I'd put Mueller below him. Well, in the Sharks depth chart, yeah, Mueller's probably higher. In my depth chart, he'd be lower. But Heed and Joakim Ryan, I mean, Joakim Ryan is the most complete defenseman that the Sharks have in the system. And Tim Heed's obviously Tim Heed. He's a scoring machine. Tim Heed's going to be interesting to see what happens in the offseason with Tim Heed, because he'll be a UFA. So, some team might come along and throw him a ton of money to quarterback their second power play unit.
Yeah. I mean,
not a ton of money, but, you know, more than he's obviously making here.
I mean, yeah, and the other thing I look at too is right now on the defensive depth chart, I mean, unless Vegas takes a defenseman, which is a real possibility.
They likely will, yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, there's not really much room for him to move up here. Unless somebody, like I said, unless Vegas does take a defenseman, which I think we're all kind of, that's where we're at. We're placing our money on the defense just because of the wealth of riches that the Sharks have right now on the blue line. It'd be interesting to see. You know, I think Doug Wilson could go either way on him. I think the org kind of sees him a little bit on the short side, as far as just stature wise, and I think that they kind of shy away from that on their defensemen. I think the last short kind of defenseman we had was Boiler, and even him, I mean, he wasn't that short. So,
right.
You know, it's just that this team has always kind of had a Joner for the taller defenseman.
Oh, I mean, look at, I mean, that's just hockey in general, right? Like, you know, a wise man always says that, you know, it's up to a big guy to prove that he can't play in the league and a little guy to prove that he can. You know, the big guy's always going to get every opportunity to excel, and the little guy has to prove that he can actually play.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just hockey in a nutshell.
Right. And you know what? I think Ryan, to me, has kind of made the biggest strides this year as a defenseman. And it wouldn't be surprising to see him get a shot over Heed if there is an organization spot opening up.
Well, here's the problem with Tim Heed, right? Is that next season, because of his age, you call him up and he's up for good.
Right, right.
So, you know, that's why I think, like, I don't know if the Sharks, I think the Sharks would like to bring back Tim Heed, especially if they lose one on the blue line. Maybe they give him a shot to make the Sharks, but they have to be damn sure he's going to be a Shark, because if they put him on the Barracuda, the second they call him up, that's it.
He's going to get claimed. Yeah, he's going to, yeah. Or,
well, you can only get claimed going down.
Going back.
No such thing as reentry. So reentry, you're gone since the last CBA. So, you could call him up, but you wouldn't be able to send him back down, because he'd absolutely get claimed on a waiver claim.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, he'd get picked up faster than Nieto was, and Nieto was picked up pretty quick.
Ah, first claim.
Yeah.
So AJ mentioned this in the chat, and you know, we've been talking about the Pacific and the conference races, but the Sharks are right back into the President's Trophy race, guys. They sit at 91, with Washington having the top spot at 97, followed by Pittsburgh at 95, Columbus 94, Chicago 93, Minnesota 92. Guys, I mean, of course, we all know what happened in 2009, but would you want this team to finish with the best record in the league?
I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's such a useless thing. Like, big deal, you won the regular season, win in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. If anything, you know what? Finish number one in the conference. That's what I would care about more. If you lock up that number one conference seed and you can rest guys for a couple of games and you have the President's Trophy on the line, I don't really care.
Yeah.
And if anything, I mean, if worst comes to worst, if you want to rest guys and you've got the Pacific Division all locked up, that's fine too. Yeah. You gotta take care of your division first. You gotta go through your division first. I mean, with this playoff format, and then you kind of gotta have a dice roll anyways. who knows who's going to end up in that third round. I mean, it could be Minnesota, it could be Chicago, it could be, I mean, who the hell knows? I mean, if one of the teams, yeah, Nashville, if somebody has to cross over, if Edmonton or St. Louis has to cross over divisions, I mean, it could be one of them. I mean, honestly, in the playoffs, it becomes a crapshoot, and you just got to take care of your own place.
Yeah, I mean, you have to take care of what you do. You can't just, worry about the whole conference. You just take care of your battles. It's four battles. Mm-hmm. You're not playing 16 teams. You're playing four to win 16 games.
Right.
Yeah, and put it to you this way. I mean, if there are guys that are fighting through bumps and bruises that we don't know about right now, and it was, hey, you've got the Western Conference number one seed on the line, or you rest Jumbo because he's got, a bruised shoulder or something, just rest Jumbo. I just have everybody 100% going into the playoffs. That's all I care about.
Yeah, just a quick question in the chat.
I think you're about to say what I was just about to say. Go ahead.
What were you going to say?
About Zach Aston-Reese to Pittsburgh.
Right. Yeah. So so he's he signed with the Pittsburgh Penguins. The thing is with these undrafted college guys, I don't know if he has, and I haven't really seen, I'm not gonna lie, I haven't seen a ton of this guy, but I know of him. I don't know if he translates to a top six pro player, but I think he has a good enough game that he could easily be, a bottom six secondary scoring grinder type guy. Honestly, if he, better Pittsburgh than Edmonton, and he can't play in the playoffs. So, would it be nice for the Sharks to grab another guy? Yeah, but they're,
Look, I mean, look at the pipeline right now. I mean, look how bursting at the seams it is. I mean, if you've got barely enough room in the org for one or two more forwards anyways, plus you've got the bumper crop of kids coming from the 15-16 draft. I mean, Rudolph Balcarz is going to be coming up soon to be an AHLer. He's the guy that I look at as a player that could make some noise. You know what? You've got to keep some room open, and signing another NCAA guy, I mean, sure, it's nice, but you've got some other NCAA guys that are coming through the pipeline now.
Yeah, look, Tage Thompson, this is something that Zach brought up before, but Tage Thompson signed his pro deal with St. Louis. So, one of our prospects there, Maxim Latunov, this could be a guy who, also goes pro next year. And, so you need room for him. You got to remember also that, like, the Sharks, they drafted overage players. So, you brought up Balcarz. There's a couple of guys that are going to be on the door to look at the, to get into the Barracuda earlier than you would expect them to. Cause normally you draft a guy and he stays in junior for, at least 2 years, unless he's exceptional. And then they come up. So, you do have guys that are going to start pushing for spots into the Barracuda sooner, and you don't want to send them, you don't want to start sending guys to Allen just because you have no room for them.
Right. And for anybody who's wondering, where are we getting all of these names? Where are we getting these guys that are in a pipeline? Check out SanJoseSharks.com. Go under the team page, the team drop down, and then under there, there's a great little PDF that they used to put out. They stopped for about a year, and now they're putting it out again. It's called the Prospect Report. And in the Prospect Report, you get to see the drafted Sharks, that we have contractual claims on, but who aren't in the AHL. There's one or two that are in the AHL because of just the way that the transactions kind of worked out. Their first year as a pro was the first year that they were in the system, so they get to be put in that prospect report. But go check that out. That's where you get to look at the NCAA guys that we've got. You get to look at all the guys in Canadian junior that we have. And then you get to see some Russian kids that we've had kind of in the background. I mean, there's a Emil Gallimov, who will probably never come over, but he's also tracked in there. And then, of course, you still have Danny Tarasov, who is owned by the Sharks still. I mean, even though he's a 2012 pickup, but the Sharks still have a contractual claim on him. So go check that out. It's a really great resource. It was something that I looked at when I was doing my draft reports and just kind of where the Sharks are in the system-wise besides the AHL, because there's a lot more in the organization than just the AHL stuff.
Also, yeah. I will have – it won't be everybody, obviously, but I am in the process of doing my top 20 prospects for this year, so you'll be able to see that eventually.
Yeah, and you know what? Like I said, we've got some really good guys that are coming up that they're going to need space at the end for. Eric, you want to push subscribes? We're pushing past 40s right now.
Yeah, and since Brody's been off the air, so we welcome those of you who watch Sharks postgame live and who are slightly distracted by Jamie Hirsch on the fly. Make sure you subscribe down below and to the side. You can always hit us on our social media channels, where it's Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Technology Writers Room, YouTube. And if you missed anything tonight, you know, and want to hear us again, thank you for wanting to. You can check this out on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, any podcatcher. We try to get all the info on, because you know, we know down inside that there really much isn't much Sharks coverage around, and we do our damnedest to fill that void, because this team deserves to, and for that matter, so do the San Jose Barracuda for that sake. So yeah, please subscribe, do whatever you can, and even if you miss something, by all means, it's readily available for you. Back to you, Landy.
Yeah, we've got a couple of questions on the prospect report. It's updated once a month. It might even be maybe twice a month, but it's still a great resource. It even has San Jose Barracuda and Allen American stats in there as well. And it's got the Sharks prospects that are owned by the Sharks highlighted on the Allen Americans, because most of the guys in the E are contracted by Allen and not by San Jose.
Correct. Mike E, kid the Sharks signed last year as a free agent, had a bunch of goals but never a score.
Let's see. I think the kid that they signed last year. Let's see. If we take a look at the prospect report.
The only thing I was thinking of, like, I was
Maxim Latunov.
No, he was a trade. He was drafted by St. Louis.
Jake Markschmidt? He was a free agent in 2016.
Yeah, it might have been Jake Markschmidt.
Let's see. It's not Marcus Vila.
No, he was drafted.
Matt Willows was also a free agent pickup, but he was in the Junior Shark system, and he got signed because of his they had an open skate in San Jose.
The one who plays for Denver is Gambrell, and we drafted him with our second overall.
Yeah, Dylan Gambrell. Yeah. The other guy that I really want to look at is Joachim Blitchfield. I think he's going to be a nice little player coming from Portland.
Yeah, he's been doing really good in Portland. He's pretty good. I like him.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of Chartier, like kind of under the radar kind of pickup by the Sharks.
Yeah. I mean, look at for, you know, oh, another guy who you might see on the Barracuda next year, who I was trying to think of, is Emmanuel Ruderer, seventh round pick last year in the 2015 draft, but he looks pretty good. I mean, Q stats, let's get that out of the way, hashtag Q stats, but he looks like he was a guy that the Sharks kept in camp until, like, he was the last amateur cut from camp. So obviously the coaching staff saw something that they liked. So you'll probably see him on the Barracuda next year because he is he's an older guy. He's another guy that was drafted over age. No Kupski next year. Oh gosh, guys, our goalies are so bloody terrible.
Yeah.
No.
John no Martin.
Kupski forever.
Mike, I think, was thinking of John Martin.
Maybe.
Yeah, he did score tonight. Look, the guy that's kind of on my radar that's got a make or break coming up, I mean, as far as where he's going to go, is Jeremy Waugh. I mean, highly touted prospect, had a lot of injury issues, and he's really got to have a bounce back year next year, because he's going to get passed up real quick in the organization. Now, luckily, he's playing defense, and the Sharks are kind of a little bit thinner there, but still, they've got some kids that have been making some progress, so he's gotta kind of watch out where he's going. But yeah, as far as the goaltending goes, besides what's on the AHL right now, not that great. Frederick Bergeron.
Goaltending, and look at goaltending. Your best goaltender right now in the system is Troy Grosnick.
Yeah,
and it's not even close. And even there, like, as good of a season that Troy Grosnick is having, and I know I'm going to catch all kinds of hell for this, but I don't care. Troy Grosnick doesn't have, like, he's doing really good this year. The team in front of him is pretty good, but he's never been consistently a good goalie. And he's 27. I mean, you know, look at Tim Thomas is the exception to the rule.
But you say that, but I mean, goaltenders and defensemen are notorious late bloomers, and maybe this is the year that he has figured it out. But I'd like to see another year of this, of similar consistency. If he puts up another year like he did this year, or hell, even if he just regresses back to like a 918 or a 920 in the AHL, that shows me that he figured it out. But I'm with you, Ian.
I don't know if he comes back. He's a UFA next year. He's got no path to the NHL in San Jose. He might look for greener pastures to get his chance to break into the NHL. He's not going to get it here.
No, I mean, not with the way Dell's playing. And Dell's got one extra year on his contract too. So, you know, he'd have to wait at least 1 year if he wants a shot at the Sharks. Unless you have an injury. Now,
yeah,
it's always good to have a spare goalie. I mean, especially one that's kind of overripe, because you don't know with goalie injuries just the way when they tweak a groin, or if they tweak a knee or whatever. You know, they're kind of a different animal when it comes to injuries. So I'd like to see them bring him back, or try and bring him back with the.
Oh, me too. I just don't know if it's realistic. Just another quick question I have in the chat, and then I'll let Puck Guy put this show back on the rails. Nick asking, how's Dylan Sadoway doing? Dylan Sadoway he's been kind of back and forth. Detroit, you know, Detroit is a deep system. Even still, it might not be great, but. He's kind of on the Nikita Yevpilov's plane, where he's kind of bounced back and forth from the A to the E, but that's not uncommon for a first-year pro to do that, especially someone who figures to be, you know, more of your bottom six grinder, heart and soul type guy.
Yeah, and look, the Sharks had so many of those kind of players already. He just wasn't going to get a fair shake. I mean, him and Gaudreau are kind of carbon copies of each other. And I think that's why the Sharks found him expendable. So, you know what? They traded for a third rounder or a fourth rounder for Dylan. I mean, that was a good pickup for him. You know, I have no problem with that, especially if the kid's going to get a shot in the Detroit organization. It's a little bit thinner, or the path to the NHL is a little bit easier than it is in the Sharks. So, you know what? I mean, go get your shot, man. Go get your shot. Eric, I mean, you want to start wrapping it up? I mean, I think AJ wanted to see if we wanted to talk Blues, but I think that they're going to hold it down only because the LA Kings can't get out of their own way.
Well, the Blues are the next opponent for the Sharks on Thursday night, and the Sharks are going to try to avoid the season sweep against the Blues. They played November 17th in a 3-2 win in St. Louis. Then they had that embarrassing 4-0 win on home ice against the Blues. So one more chance for what potentially could be your first round matchup for the Sharks. What are you guys looking forward to on Thursday night?
It'll be a good test to see where this team, you know, actually is. I mean, this is a Blues team that is actually going to give a damn, because they do kind of have the Kings breathing down their necks, even though I don't think the Kings have enough runway to get back into it. But they still do kind of have a little bit of pressure. They still got to keep winning games. So it'll be a good test for the Sharks. You know, the Sharks kind of have their eyes now on bigger prizes. First seed in the West. Maybe even an outside shot at that President's Trophy. It'll be a good game. I think both teams will bring their A game, and it'll be a good measuring stick.
Ian?
Yeah, look, I think it's going to be good. The chat's asking, do we see Dell this game? I don't think we see Dell until the until the Dallas Minnesota back to back. I think Jones is going to play St. Louis. I think Jones is going to play Anaheim, and then we'll see him on the Dallas Minnesota back to back, and then the Dallas Nashville back to back, and then Jones will play New York, and then Dell will probably I don't know, man. Edmonton, Calgary. One point in time, I would have said, yeah, for sure, Dell plays one of those games. I'm not sold that he does.
Well, I also think it depends on the standing for the Sharks. If the Sharks have the division wrapped up, maybe you do see Dell a little bit more, because you already know that you're for sure going to have the number one seed in the playoffs. Now, unless they have the number one seed in the West that they're going for, maybe, then
Jumper gets more. Because Calgary's been really hot lately, and Edmonton's a potential first-round opponent. So you want to send a message.
Yeah, agreed. I agree with Ian. I think if anything, Dell will start against both. I think he'll start both Dallas games. I think you'll see Jones play against Minnesota. You'll see Jones play against Nashville. I think you'll see Dell play against the New York Rangers, because it is three and four.
Yeah.
And I think that you could see Jonesy play the back to back, and then in April, the two Vancouver games, I think you could see Jones and Dell split those, and then I think you see Jones play against Edmonton and Calgary at the last of the season. So honestly, I think you've got the chance for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 appearances at max for Dell. But I think Peter DeBoer looks at it like, hey, look, Jonesy got a week's worth of rest. He's been getting good rest when Dell's been coming in. I think he sees him as he's good to go. He's willing to play him, whatever it is. It ended up being like 66 or 68 games, whatever he's going to clock in at.
Yeah, I don't know. In the chat, they're saying, you know, how many games has he played against playoff opponents?
I think maybe one.
Yeah, and it's not his fault. I mean, he's been throwing up really, really good performances. I just don't see Peter DeBoer taking that away from Jones. I think he's just really, really loyal to his starting goalie.
I think it's a fair criticism, though. I think for all the good that Dell has done, the fact that he's, you know, it's kind of like the boxer that goes in there and just fights all these tin cans that basically, you know, he's going to, you know what I mean? Like, you know.
Agreed. It's definitely quality of competition, right? I mean, that's definitely going to play into a factor. But still, I just think that more, I just think that Peter DeBoer just holds a little bit more faith in Jones than he does in Dell. And I think that he's a little bit more, I don't know, what's the word, loyal to Jones than he is to Dell.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think that, he knows that Jones is the starting netminder, and, you know, he wants to have him ride the wave, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Eric, do you want to take us home?
Yeah, one quick thing in the chat before we go, and I'll do the push one more time while we're doing this chat. We're going to try to get T-shirts made from Bring Hockey Back, and we're trying to gauge the interest along with what color to go with, whether it's teal or black. I've heard some people in the chat, well, it's after dark, so you go black. At the same time, you know, we are teal town. So so let's hear from you in the chat, teal or black, and would you do it? What you think? Why don't I remind you that since we have the Minnesota games coming up again, Chris did an interview with the Brave the Wild podcast. That's on the YouTube page. You can definitely check that out.
And you know what? When playoffs roll around, whoever we're going to play against, we've got some ties to different podcasts. Take a look at the website for some more Pucknology conversations. Definitely take a look and see for Pucknology Writers Room. I know that they're going to be doing a big push to the playoffs coming up here soon. So it's going to be a lot of content coming up, and we've got that last little bit of the stretch drive to go, guys.
Yep, we're down to 13 games. Chester Chivo, I think, is trying to steal Gentry from me with his orange idea. No. Traffic cone orange or Barracuda orange. It's the After Dark logo. It's teal or black. But like Chris says, whoever we play, there will be content.
Definitely.
So looks like more so teal. So it looks like we'll roll with teal. We'll definitely get that going here. If you are interested in doing that, I'll DM me on Twitter your size, because I have to get the order in from Bring Hockey Back. And let's give a shout out to Bring Hockey Back. They saw that Gentry was at the Teal City Crew night, and unfortunately I gave most of them, although this is now a leaked surprise to Landy and Ian because they haven't gotten it yet. I had made the banners for them. Unfortunately, the teal came out blue. But Bring Hockey Back, who's been gracious enough, they're saying, well, we'll fix the banners for us. Shirts-wise, we could get a really sweet deal on it. So I need to make sure I get 24 in order to do that, and they'll come to my house, and I can ship it to you maybe. So again, DM me on Twitter at PuckGuy14 for that. And with that, the Sharks beat the Buffalo Sabres 4-1. We will be back with you on... And Barracuda went 4-3 over the Bakersfield Condors. It's like an echo. It near echo. Here. We'll be back with you Thursday night after Sharks and Blues. I believe the Pucknologists are recording on Wednesday, so we might have a Pucknologist for you to check out during the day on Thursday. But nonetheless, subscribe down below. Make sure you hit up pucknology.net for all your news and opinions. Make sure you follow us on all our social media channels. We're trying a bunch of stuff right now before the playoffs start, and really looking forward to it. And it's hot in here, which means
it's time to go. And
it's time to go. And
I know where people start taking their clothes off.
Yeah, I mean, you guys don't
like Joe.
Well, see, I'm kind of like the opposite of Joe, because I'm just in my underwear. You guys can't see that, so.
With that, it's time to go before we find out what kind of underwear.
Hey,
until
briefs.
Until next time, Landy, no. Landy. Until next time, like briefs, keep it real, keep it tight, keep it real tight. We'll see you on Thursday.
Thanks, everybody.